Everybody, the House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. It's about 5 minutes after eight. Good morning, everybody, folks. I'd like to introduce the committee, Representative Peterson, Representative Seaton, Representative Wilson, Vice Chair Keller, and Representative Johansson has an excused absence this morning. He's out of town, but he may in fact call in. This morning we have two bills on the agenda. The first is HB 311, involving reports to APOC, and HB 190, PFD allowable absences. And before I begin, I just found out in my office that there's apparently a computer virus going around. Something about your package is ready to be delivered. I need something like that. And it's caused some problems to some of the people in the building. In fact, I got that same email at my home computer at Driftwood Lodge, and thank heavens I didn't open it. So I had just a warning to the wise. The bad guys are out there. So let's start with HB 311. I recognize that Reverend Grunberg has now joined us. And the sponsor of HB 311, please come forward. The sponsors. Or the presenters, I guess I should say, because this is, in fact, a Rules Committee bill. But the Rules Committee bill did not have anybody's name on it except the committee. And so I understand that we have an amendment that needs to be offered. And do you want to do an overview of the bill first, and then we see about the amendment? How do you want to work that? Please introduce yourselves.
Mr. Chairman, I am Representative Mike Hawker, representing District 32 in South Central Alaska, and I am joined with our minority leader.
I'm Beth Kurtula, and I'm from right where you're sitting, District 3. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, good morning, sir, members of the committee. And if it suits your pleasure, I'd like to present a background and a talking point summary of the bill itself, followed by Rep. Kurtula's endorsement. And then at that point in time, if it works with you, simply bring up the one amendment that involves correcting an item that got technically slipped through drafting. I guess apparently I wasn't paying enough attention when the bill was drafted.
So. Okay, thank you very much. And it is my intention, if possible, to pass this bill out of the committee today. Time is short, and he'll explain why.
Mr. Chairman.
If there's any Hawker.
Mr. Chairman, sir, members of the committee, thank you again for the opportunity to be here. We, the legislature, make policies regarding the public disclosure of campaign finance activities. And that is something that we take extremely seriously. That is the transparency of those disclosures that we make to the public for the activities behind campaign activities. And we, the legislature, over time have established very specific and very detailed statutory policies about who has to disclose, what they have to disclose, when it is to be disclosed, and how they have to disclose it. I mean, these are very important things that we've established statutorily. We've charged the Alaska Public Offices Commission with administrating those policies that we establish as legislators. And note that it is still important that we are establishing the policies by which we wish to govern ourselves. As diligent stewards of our public trust, we, the legislature, occasionally reevaluate policies we've established, and we make course corrections as necessary. It's an inevitable part of the ebb and flow of process and experience. House Bill 311 that's before us is really the outcome of one of those reevaluations. It's being brought forward as a nonpartisan policy adjustment. The bill's been introduced by the Rules Committees in both the House and the Senate, and I would sit here with my dear friend Representative Kurtula and ask, how often do you get to see the minority leader and myself presenting the same bill together? That is very clearly and very much a statement on behalf of all of us making this policy call come forward. The bill before us, it really came about by the way, it was inspired by the way, I'll use the acronym for the record of APOC, which stands for the Alaska Public Offices Commission. But it's the way the APOC implemented our policy directive, and a policy directive that we made through statute back in 2007. And that was that all state office, emphasize state office, campaign finance filings were to be submitted electronically. We made an exception in that statute that still exists today that says local election candidates still have to file disclosures but do not have to file electronically. They're excluded from the electronic filing mandate. Historically, and around this table, there's a couple of folks here. We've got a lot of tenure in this business. Historically, APOC offered a proprietary filing system. It was called the ELFS system, E-L-F-S, and also accepted Excel spreadsheets with the in a format that they prescribed that they were able to then, you know, upload into their system and disclose our campaign filings to the public. We also have an exception in our statute that allows the commission to accept paper filings in a format that they prescribe when circumstances are warranted. And I think everyone here has probably had, I think everyone here has been in the legislature long enough to have used the ELF system. I think we all know that it was a fairly cranky system. Some of us liked it. Some of us, you know, found it difficult to use. But, you know, it was what it was. But that system became sufficiently, I would say, sufficiently cranky and difficult for legislators that it was discontinued a couple of years ago. And in the interim, the commission has accepted purely spreadsheet-based filings, which, of course, most people have a personal computer, the ability to manage their data on a spreadsheet and send it to the commission. Or they have been accepting, through this past campaign, paper filings.
And for the benefit of the Washington public, the filing, we're talking basically about campaign contributions that we receive and campaign expenditures for campaign materials. That's the primary thing that we're talking about on the report. We need to have transparency with for the benefit of the public. Please continue.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that is exactly correct. And in the past couple of years, the commission has been working on a new proprietary system, a system to replace the ELFS system. And that proprietary system is a new styled online system, and respectfully, I first learned about it being required for this campaign back December 29th when I got an email. And it was with the notation that the direction that everyone in involved in a current campaign had to immediately adopt the system for reports that are due this coming February 15th. I'd note certainly for many of us, we received that notice December 29th, and frankly, I talked to legislators here when I got down to June of the session, weren't even aware that the filing requirement had changed until very recently here when a couple of us that had spotted it started asking questions in the legislature. Certainly, the first ferry for this session left Whittier on January 4th, 5 days after receiving the notice that we had to retroactively redo all of our campaign filing accounting records on this new and unproven system. And I further note the new system, as it's designed, requires users to manually enter every, as it was introduced to us on the 29th, required us to manually re-enter every transaction we had had for campaign contributions and expenses that we incurred over the course of this past summer when we were legally able to conduct campaign activities. It required us to manually re-enter every transaction directly onto a state mainframe computer without any record being kept on one's own personal computer for review, editing, or database management. Now, that's a policy call in how the APOC has established this new electronic system, but it's certainly a departure from the past where we've been able to manage our own data, edit it, clean it up, make sure it's accurate before we submit it to the state, before it gets recorded on a state computer. I would note also that the agency has subsequently come up with an import-export feature for that system. I think I got a notice last week to that effect. But again, I'm in the middle of the legislative session, and quite frankly, I'm not engaged. I am not legally able to engage in campaign activity outside of reporting, so it's frankly something that is probably a bit late for the this reporting cycle.
I believe we can make campaign expenditures. We just can't collect contributions. Is that correct?
We certainly cannot solicit contributions. I'm just noting the commission did require retroactive application of that new system to the beginning of our campaign activity that for most of us began in earnest early this summer. And at least myself, and I know many of us, have been keeping our campaign records in a manner that was totally and completely acceptable until December 29th, when, and for that matter, it was still that those methodologies, the spreadsheet methodologies, were posted on the APOC website after the new system mandate. So, and simply, While greatly respecting the efforts of APOC to come up with a new functional electronic system, as I started talking with legislators, many of us started to reconsider and really ask that question. Was APOC implementing the disclosure policies and practices that we have established as legislators, those policies we've established, as we intended those policies to be implemented? And that was a question that started to be asked. That is, had the Commission become overly prescriptive in a way that was actually discouraging or preventing a whole cohort of Alaskans from even attempting to run for public office? That is, this mandate to use one proprietary electronic system that required literally an online connection to a state computer to operate. All of the legislatures I've spoken with down here answered yes. I think that APOC was not implementing our disclosure policies in the manner in which we felt they ought be implemented. Now, I will emphasize, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that we, the legislators, we will maintain the highest standards of transparency and disclosure in our public campaign finance activities and processes, but it's also very important, and I think we all want to accommodate a reasonable latitude of methodologies by which individuals with varying degrees of skills and experience may comply with those policy dictates. Now, House Bill 311 essentially codifies exactly what APOC is doing by convention at this time before the December 29 mandate. It codifies what was in place when current campaigns started, and it codifies what has been conducted for nearly 6 months of our campaign activity. The bill itself is really a very simple bill in codifying what is in place by convention before this new system was imposed by mandate. It actually takes us back to something that we had before we went to this mandatory electronic filing, and it's something that we've all reconsidered. We bring it forward to the committee for consideration. And this bill would require APOC to accept campaign finance reports in one of three formats. And one is, quite frankly, a paper format that would be designed by APOC itself. We really do have a cohort of Alaskans across this state without the ready or assured access to computer technology. It's just a fact. We've got individuals with varying degrees of skills with computer technology. I think in order to properly encourage and facilitate, and those of us that have worked to bring this bill forward believe that that is something that we may have swung our pendulum a little too far and disenfranchised that cohort with our previous statute. But also, we do want to encourage electronic filing. I mean, this is the electronic age. It's the computer age. It is something that makes it easy for everyone when it's done correctly. But for those reports that we would have filed electronically, and we want to encourage APOC to design systems that bring people to filing electronically because of their ease and facility, that we provide in this bill that they can be submitted electronically through a system that they design through their website. But secondly, we do, if you want to call it, grandfather in and require that this APOC also accept spreadsheets or other databases that APOC can define the fields so that once we've submitted that data, it's readily available for them to upload into their accumulated or their public disclosure system. You know, that's part of it. One side of this is we submit. The other side is they disclose to the public. They facilitate that disclosure. Now, that's the second part of the legislation, and it requires that, or it reiterates that APOC, when someone files a paper filing with APOC, that APOC has 2 days after receiving the report to post a digital copy, basically run it through a scanner, PDF it, get it up there in 2 days. Now, the legislation before you has 10 days in there. That is the error that was a drafting error, my oversight, not catching it before last night. The amendment would take that 10 days into 2 working days. That 2 working days complies with existing statute that says when a paper filing is made, APOC has 2 days to get it PDF and up on the on the system. That's already in statute. This is simply codifying that for the disclosure to the public that 2-day requirement is adequate and acceptable. The bill also accelerates the deadline for APOC to prepare a summary of electronic reports and that is currently 30 days after an election, but we're suggesting that electronic reports should be summarized and posted within 30 days of the report being filed. The bill provides also for a safe harbor for transition language that those of us that are required to file reports during this campaign cycle are not in violation of statute by having not complied with the mandate for the mandatory new system. And I will disclose publicly here on the record, I submitted my own campaign filing reports last weekend using the spreadsheet methodology that was available, and it was prescribed the day I filed for my campaign, the 6 months I kept all my campaign records, prepared them for disclosure before I came to the legislative session. I submitted it with a request that the APOC take that into consideration and accept that as compliance with their reporting system.
Without passage of this bill, they would not accept what you already turned in.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if they will accept them or not, but I requested they did.
We might need this bill. They have to make sure that is acceptable and you meet the reporting requirements, correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and that is why I'm making that statement and disclosing that I have a conflict of interest with this bill in that being down here, not having access to my own personal computer equipment to completely re-input an entire year's campaign activity while I'm in the legislative session. I filed a electronic spreadsheet consistent with the methodology that was in place the day I filed for office, in place until December 29th, until we departed for the legislative session here January 4th. And again, I've requested that the APOC accept that, which, however, I believe it is not, that filing is not in compliance with their most recent regulatory determinations. So Mr. Chairman, that's basically the bill, and I would very much appreciate the lengthy time you've given me to present it. I would ask that my colleague, Representative Curtula, the House Minority Leader, be able to add to these comments.
Let me ask just a couple questions here, mainly to put on the record, because I know the answers to this. Nothing in this bill would change what we have to report. Nothing in this bill changes reporting of contributions. Nothing in this bill changes disclosure of campaign expenditures for different things. Is that correct?
No, sir. There has been no change in our disclosure requirements.
And there's nothing in this bill that changes the ability of the public to review our campaign contributions and to review our campaign expenditures. Is that correct?
No, sir. There's no change in the requirements for APOC to make our information available to the public, with the exception of the acceleration of the summer reporting for electronic filings.
Okay, thank you. Representative Curtula.
Okay, I'm going to be short. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm here to support HB 311 for two reasons. One, I support transparency in campaign finances. I think the public has a right to get our information as quickly and as easily as possible. And the second reason is I'm afraid that in 8 days when the reports are all due, there's just going to be a big problem. And, I think APOC has a thankless job. And we caused this problem by 5 years ago saying we wanted electronic filing. And it is. It's a great goal, and it's where we all should be. But after having thought about it and seen the problems and taking informal polls as Representative Hawker did, I'm convinced that two things are happening. First, because we don't all have the same kind of bandwidth, we don't have the same kind of computer programs, people aren't being able to upload the programs, they get kicked off the program, and there's some general confusion about it. The program looks beautiful. I mean, I think it's a really nice program. It's not about that. It's just about the reality of candidates across the state trying to do it and having this deadline coming up quickly without a lot of people being able to use it properly. I still see it as the goal. So I went back and forth about returning the paper filing ability. There is an exception in the regulations right now. And still believe that electronic filing is the way to go. I think it's easier access for the public. But I also think, given the fact that there are varying degrees of people's abilities to be able to file electronically that I guess at this point in time I would still put the burden on APOC to be able to transcribe, get the information into the computer, put the summaries up. They will be putting the PDFs, the, you know, you can look at the document very quickly. I think that at this point in time that's where the balance is, that there are still some people, especially in areas where you just can't get the computers to work right, that will be stuck filing paper, and I think we should still allow it at this point in time. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know on my own report, my treasurer has kept, detailed records of various contributions I've received and detailed records of various expenditures that I made. When I filed for office, in Anchorage, I immediately drove down to APOC, Alaska Public Officers Commission, to do the paperwork there so they could accept records of all this. And then we find out about this change, and so we go down to the local Juneau office to file the electronic report, and it says, I've not reported to APOC that I filed for office. Well, that's not true because I have a copy of the paper that did it. And so that's one example of the problem there. And February 15th, all these reports are due in one manner or another before midnight on the 15th. And I think I can speak for 60 elected officials in this building that we all want to do that. So
if I might follow up, I'm not going to guarantee how it's going to look by the time it's over, but I don't have a conflict. We're filing under the new system, but there have been problems here and there, but I'm very, very fortunate. My bookkeeper is incredibly good with computers, so we're trying to meet this, and we're the ones that asked APOC to do this. I mean, it was our statute. So now it's back to us, I think, to try to say how do we go forward from here. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me make a list of who wants to speak first. We're going to go from left to right. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I completely agree with this legislation, and I think it's a good idea to allow the system to sort of get the bugs worked out of it and allow people in this building to become familiar with the system so there aren't errors and there aren't, no one gets stuck in a nightmare. And there are several of us, I'm sure, who do not have computer access where we live while we're down here in Juneau, so it makes it difficult for us to get caught up on the filing the information, and so I think this bill makes perfect sense.
And I'd like to point out, you said we don't have a computer. Well, we do have computer access, but we cannot use a state computer to do this stuff with. It has to be our own computer or public computer. So we're not allowed, and nor should we be, to put our campaign stuff on a state computer. So we do have access to computers that we can't use.
That's correct.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I agree with the direction the bill is going. I'm just looking at some technicalities and wording in the bill and trying to understand exactly what it means. So the written portion would be submitted in, legible black and white, and at that point the APOC is going to be required to scan and post the copy. Okay, so the written...
You're going to have to say yes or no because they can't record
yes.
Your nod.
Yes, through the chair, that's right. And they do that currently.
Okay, thank you. Continue.
Yes, please.
And so I guess the only question that came up when the electronic versions were originally considered was the lag time of accepting a postmark when the submission is supposed to be there, and can that delay the public's ability to retrieve the data in a timely manner? Is that addressed in the bill anywhere, or should that be addressed in the bill so that if the legislature is giving the ability to for people to do things manually that aren't electronically received, that the posting is more closely aligned with those candidates that are doing electronic filing? And I say this because when we originally went this way, there was a number of comments from some legislators that were specifically going to file paper because of the time lag. And I'm wondering if there's any way in the bill to make that more equivalent.
Now, through the chair, Representative Seaton, the bill before you was crafted with the intent of not touching any of those issues that surround reporting, any of the regulatory requirements for the date submissions process. The bill was very much crafted not to interfere with current APOC determinations, policies, procedures, or regulations in those areas, but only to change and recognize the latitude and methodology of reporting. So respectfully, if the committee wished to provide further statutory guidance on the acceptance of written reports, the acceptance of spreadsheets, or for that matter, the acceptance of electronically input data, that would be to the committee's determination.
Okay, thank you. And
continue, please, Representative Seaton.
And following in, I guess the question would be more for APOC, but just in case the sponsors want to comment. So, do you believe that the ability of APOC through regulation on that date as to whether the posting date or non-posting date for mailed-in handwritten would be within the regulatory ability of APOC, or do we have to do that by statute?
Well, we think that that is within their regulatory ability, but they'll be able to respond to that. We'll leave that to them to correct us if that's wrong.
And
thank you.
Chair, so that we're both on the record through the chair, Representative Seaton, I absolutely believe that that is the sort of thing that is best managed through regulatory activity.
Yeah, I can see where if we file electronically, report is filed available to the public when we press the button on the computer, correct? But if we put in a handwritten document of expenditures and contributions, and mail it and get it postmarked before the deadline on February 15th, because of the mail system and where it's mailed from, that report could be available to the public a few days later. So there would be potential lag time between those two dates, and that would not be good, but I don't know how to avoid that. Might be something to look at in the future.
Through the chair, I concur.
Right.
I think both Representative Curtula and myself concurred in our conversations that this is one of those areas where it is an imperfect world. We do our best to strive for perfection. Hopefully, we achieve excellence.
We try in the legislature to change from imperfect world to perfect world. We don't usually accomplish that. Representative Seaton, and then Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. And the only other question I had was on the wording where it's submitted on an electronic spreadsheet or data file that contains the names and dates. Does that wording comport to that the ability, no matter which database it would be uploadable by APOC, or does that need delineation that a database, I mean, Excel spreadsheets are obviously there. There's a Mac version obviously there. I mean, I'm not familiar with Unix and all the other databases. And is there any clarification needed, or can that be done by regulation, that the database has to comport with uploadability by APOC or something like that?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton. The last half of that sentence states that, you know, a spreadsheet, which of course is technology readily available to the layman, or a data file containing field names and data types that conform to a standard established by the commission. So statutorily, we are requiring that the spreadsheet or data type files be something that is of utility to APOC and allows them for direct uploading.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's what I wanted to make sure I was clear on the record that it wasn't any database that had those fields, if that couldn't be manipulated in the intent of the legislation, then, and the intent of the sponsors and the committee is that the electronic spreadsheet or database will conform and be usable by the commission. Thank you very much.
And I'm advised by staff that records like to have page and paragraph, et cetera, so they can keep it. Do what?
Page and line.
Yeah, page and line for the records.
Mr. Chairman, are you asking about where I am talking
yes.
in the bill? The first question I talked about was on page one, and it was section one, lines 5 through 9. And the second question that I was inquiring about was page one, lines 13 through page two, line one.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Greenberg.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, before we go to the next question.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, a further clarification on the record, as I know Representative Greenberg is particularly sensitive to the importance and the clarity of the record of testimony. regarding the previous question on the submission of spreadsheets or data files, it is very clearly the intent of the sponsors of this bill, and myself and Representative Curtula bringing it forward, that the spreadsheets or data files are of some nature that are readily available to regular, ordinary citizens, such as standard Microsoft Excel or Lotus spreadsheets or whatever. It is not intended that by regulation they establish some type of file or spreadsheet or program mandate that is not readily accessible to the public. We are again trying to make this reporting as facilitous as possible for both those upon whom the reporting burden is placed and those whom we are asking to administrate these requirements.
Right. Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I support the bill. Secondly, I'm one of the Neanderthals who files by pen and ink. I'm holding up a pen and ink.
And a third, quill or a pen?
Quill.
There you go.
Quill.
I got rid of that last year. And third, that I do these reports largely myself. Sometimes I make arithmetic error. They're not intentional. But I'm the lowest of the low on this, so I do appreciate this. And I don't know if that's a conflict, but I plan to file pen and ink this time too, and I'm just disclosing that, and hopefully that will be acceptable. But my question, Mr. Chair, is on page 2, line 25, about retroactivity, and it relates to whether section 3 should also be retroactive. It seems to me the transition section 3, which is on page 2, lines 15 through 22, immunizes people who may have been filing in good faith under the current system not to be subject to a civil penalty. And that directs APOC not to penalize them civilly as well. And that seems to have an independent life. And I would think we might consider making Section 3 also retroactive. And I see people nodding and smiling at the hot seat there.
Right.
I'm wondering, what do you think about making Section 3 also retroactive?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hawker again. Every time I encounter one of these, I disclose that I'm an accountant, not a lawyer.
yeah, but I am, so.
And my colleague, Representative Curtula, is a recovering attorney. But since the retroactivity provisions and the effective dates were structured by legislative legal, but I quite frankly see myself no reason why we would not entertain an amendment to make Section 3, or make the entire bill retroactively enforced. I cannot imagine a reason why that would be a problem.
Thank you, Mr.
When we get to the other amendment, I'll entertain a
I would just like
amendment.
I would just like to put on the record, I see Mr. Kramer there. He's not smiling yet, but probably will be, or whoever's going to be testifying. I would like whoever is going to testify to address that question. And I may offer a conceptual amendment. I don't want to screw the bill up. I think that the amendment you have, which is unlabeled, is a good amendment. And I would just ask one question on the fiscal note. By the way, I see we had a blank fiscal note before. Our staff, Ms. Manley, informs us that will not be offered. We're going to be using APOC's fiscal note. And I'm just going to ask somebody at that time whether the amendment, the printed amendment, which I don't know how you're going to label that, Mr. Chair, whether that will have any effect on APOC's fiscal note, since we're sort of flagging issues here. With that, I'll pass. Thank you, folks. Good bill. I support it, Mr. Chair. Thanks for the...
Thank you very much. And I'm not calling him at this moment, but we do have Julie Lucky, staff of Representative Hawker, available for questions. We have Eric Menzie and Stephen Beck from Enterprise Technology Services available. And we have APOC Chief Paul Dufias. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. I'm in big trouble with my reports now because I may have mispronounced his name. But they will be available and be invited to testify if and when they choose.
And Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
In response to Representative Grunberg's inquiry, I am very much prepared to discuss the fiscal note at your leisure.
Oh, may I ask a question?
Representative Grunberg.
Do you want to answer my question, Mike, or do you want somebody else to?
Mr. Chairman.
Who are you directing this to?
Representative Hawker.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, sir. We did receive yesterday a fiscal note from the agency requesting one additional full-time employee to implement this legislation for a annual estimated cost of $62,800. I would preface my comments in the context of having been a former co-chair of the House Finance Committee in charge of the operating budget. In that this legislation is codifying current policy, procedure, and practice, I'm having a difficult time accepting the necessity of a fiscal note or an increased cost and more personnel for the purposes of this legislation. I am very cognizant that during election years, there is an increased reporting activity and for APOC in general, and that when we see that cyclical increase, we see the same cyclical increase, of course, in the Office of Lieutenant Governor, where campaign activities are managed as well, the Division of Elections being operated, to say the least, through the Office of Lieutenant Governor. We expect in the ordinary budget process this sort of thing to be brought forward, discussed, and vetted in the full Finance Committee as far as what the agency's needs might be for this fiscal year. But again, I'd say that it is my recommendation to the committee, and with all respect to the Public Offices Commission, that this bill be forwarded without a fiscal note. I think and this committee has that authority. You know, the fiscal note is submitted to a committee. It's our decision whether or not to accept it. When we're running the Finance Committee, we often make changes to fiscal notes. If we feel an agency should be accomplishing something within the scope of its existing funding and authority, we've quite frequently, what we call it, zero out fiscal notes. It's a respectful difference of opinion on how to approach. And with this particular legislation and circumstance, which is, again, codifying current policy practice and procedure, I believe it would be more appropriate for the agency to discuss its aggregate needs for this election cycle and the coming fiscal 13 budget in the context of the finance committees.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, support the bill. Thank you for your efforts on it. The question I have, I believe you said, reminded us that this could become a bar impediment to people where in the state of Alaska who may not have computers, and this may be impediment to run for office. I see that as a something that I don't want to you know, make the same point over again, but I was thinking how that could become a legal question. U.S. Department of Justice may have something to say about that if it ever went to court. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, that's a very significant element of this, and makes me even stronger supporter of the bill.
Reverend Cotullo.
Well, to APOC's credit, I think that if someone was completely without a computer, their current regulations would cover it. But it's more that we get into the problem of bandwidth and people being able to upload, not upload in a new program. But that just for the record. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Wilson, and then Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very lucky. My bookkeeper has taken the training and is on top of this. But I must say, I've never had to do it myself. But if I had to do it myself, then, you know, we have a lot of other things that are going on during session. Besides all of our own work, we have our POET account that we have to get submitted this month by the 15th, and we have our financial disclosure that has to be submitted next month by the 15th. And, you know, that's a lot when we're in session. You know, it's a shame that all that's due while we're in session, because it really does put a hardship on us if we're the ones that do it. And I don't have my staff do that. I do it myself. So I just am very grateful for the bill. I think it will be a big sigh of relief, I think, when this bill gets passed all the way through. So I thank you for bringing it forward.
And I'd make a ruling by the chair. There is no conflict of interest for anybody on this committee when it comes time to move this bill. Representative Grunberg.
Just one question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Manley, our staff, Nancy Manley, pointed out a technical question as a result of our discussion on the fiscal note, and this is to Representative Hawker. Assuming that we follow your advice and, quote, do not forward the APOC's fiscal note, Ms. Manley had prepared a zero fiscal note for this committee. Do we forward it without a fiscal note, or should we adopt the, I'm going to call it, Manley fiscal note?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I think it would be absolutely appropriate and in the best form for you to formally adopt the zero fiscal note.
We'll do it. If I mean, that'd be my motion.
Yeah, if you'll make the motion when the time comes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank Ms. Manley.
On that point?
Yes.
Okay. Reverend Wilson.
Well, it's actually, well, it is on this point. I guess that APOC, I would like to know, you know, if they, released a staffer last year because it was a low year and they need to rehire that person, I think we need to give them the opportunity to do that. So I would like to hear if they released a person last year and need to hire them back this year.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have APOC people speak in just a few moments. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just happened to think of one additional thing that no one has mentioned. We're have potential possible post office closures across some rural parts of Alaska. I think we were lucky that some post offices have been saved from the first go around, but in future years there may be additional closures, and so candidates from remote areas of the state may not even have a post office to mail in a report. And if they don't have a computer or any kind of internet access, it would be almost impossible for them to file these reports and run for office. they may have to take a boat down the river to get to a bigger location where there was internet access or a post office. And so that's something that we might need to talk to APOC about.
Well, that's a problem they don't have in California and New York. Representative Cotullo.
Well, I just wanted to say that I know of situations that have happened in the past under circumstances like those, and APOC staff has been extremely understanding working with those candidates. And second, you know, the bill really isn't about us per se, it's about all candidates, and it's a broad, that's a broader group.
Right, it's not just incumbent.
Right.
It's for anybody
that's
who may choose
exactly
to
right.
run for a state
that's
office.
That's right. And in fact, I think, frankly, we're all a lot better prepared than someone who's starting out new. And for them, I think it's even more important. Finally, on the fiscal note, I'm along the same lines as Representative Wilson. I didn't have a chance to talk to APOC personally about why the fiscal note, and there may be some very valid expense reasons, but to that point, I really do hope that we can take Representative Hawker's path and go to finance and find out what they need, and I'll commit to personally being sure that we figure that out, as I know Representative Hawker will be, to do the right thing. Thank you.
If you could please remain there, they're not going to call APOC to testify.
Mr.
Chairman, my clarification was I would recommend that the bill pass with a zero fiscal
right.
note, and that the agency, in its regular budget request for FY13,
right.
bring forward its needs and considerations for the coming fiscal year.
Right.
You're fine. Before I call APOC, Representative Seaton.
Thank you. In the APOC fiscal note, it says that this bill requires revision of newly enacted regulations. And so I guess what I'm trying to figure out is that in a short time where reports are due and everything else, that seems to be something that is not in their current situation. And I'm just wondering whether, I mean, if the bill requires them to create new regulations in a short period of time, is the idea that going back to previous regulations and will not create the agency burden to generate and adopt those regulations? This is the only part of this that I see being significantly different, and also would you address their and the bill, I don't think, really addresses it, but APOC is currently requiring these of all municipal elections as well. And would the bill just deal with state office, state candidates, or is it going to deal with municipal candidates as well? I see all these elections listed on page 2 of 2 of their, you know, of their activity under electronic reporting. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Through the chair, a couple of questions there.
Representative Hawker.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seaton, the regulatory activity that is undertaken by all agencies is an ongoing process and inherent in the, and their capability to manage that regulatory activity is inherent in their baseline budgets. You'd note that the request here is specifically for a position that would, quote, engage in activities required, namely scanning, manual data input, and direct customer usage. So the change of regulation, again, it's just something that is inherent in the baseline budgets of our agencies. I emphasize that the bill itself goes to the aggregate, talking about the commission may request information required under this chapter to be submitted electronically. There is a separate exception condition in statute that excludes those local office holders from filing electronically. That separate exemption for those local candidates is subsection one of, let's see here. Excuse me, I take that back. We're currently, Section M that we're revising here excludes candidates from the office of borough, mayor, municipal assembly councils from electronic reporting. The rewriting of Section M, which essentially grandfathers for any candidate the ability to file in paper or a spreadsheet, encompasses those elections and makes no change in the it makes no change in how those elections and those candidates are administered from the point of the for their disclosure requirements currently. No change for state or local. It is really only effectual for state office candidates. And it gives state office candidates essentially the same choices that local candidates have under current statutes. And I want to emphasize again, I think on your fiscal note, there seems to be a premise in the fiscal note that there's going to be some big shift towards manual paper filing. My real belief and sense in talking to my colleagues and myself is that we're all going to keep doing it the way we did it. With respectfully, Representative Broomberg, who has been a paper filer, is going to continue to file paper file this year. I myself, who've been a spreadsheet filer, will continue to file spreadsheets. Some folks, like Representatives Curtula and Wilson, are in position to be able to adopt the new system. So again, I don't see this as a retrograde motion, and I again, another reason why I think this is a very, from the standpoint of affecting the operations of the agency, a very benign proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Fine, thank you. And then we're going to go to Representative Grunberg for a quick point, and then we're going to go to APOC. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. After I mentioned the issue on retroactivity, I received a note from Mark Higgins, who's a very fine attorney on the staff of the Rules Chair, and he correctly pointed out that because Section 4 of the bill says Sections 1 and 2, which are the triggering sections, are retroactive, it's probably not necessary to reference Section 3 on line 25. So for that reason, I will not be offering such an amendment.
Okay. And if you folks could remain there to respond, to help us respond to APOC.
We'll just be back. Yeah.
I'd like to hear from APOC now. Paul Defias. There you are. Now, you're going to help me with your name, and you're not going to hold this against me when you look at my reports, right?
No, sir.
That's on the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Paul Dauphiné. I'm the executive
How's the name again?
Paul Dauphiné.
Dauphiné.
Yes, sir.
Thank
and
you.
I've heard so many variations, I answer to just about anything.
Okay.
That's fine. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me some time to discuss this with you. And I want to start with that we understand and appreciate the legislature's need and ability to go back and make changes as they see fit. And we also want to really emphasize that we respect that ability as well. We are charged with enforcing and administering these statutes, and that's what we're trying to do to the best of our ability. I think there are a couple of quick points I would like to make, Mr. Chair. First, this bill will make public access to documents much more difficult. Secondly, this will make APOC a very inefficient organization. And thirdly, I think I understand my third point was the direction I received when I was here last year, which was my first day of work, February 22, and as we went around and met with various legislators and with committees, that this was the priority, get this system working. That is the message I took away. The commission reaffirmed that for me. So that has been the priority of APOC for this entire year, is to get this system working. We had published that a number of different times, obviously not enough, and that is my responsibility and my fault that we didn't do that enough. But that was the message I took away a year ago, and that was the message that my commission gave to me to make this happen. So we made that happen. From the aspect of being more difficult for the public to access information, one of the requests we get from the public quite often is for them to be able to compare reports. Now, when we scan a report in, you can see the picture. That scan is nothing more than essentially an electronic photograph of the report. And what you heard previously is absolutely correct. We do that now. But the public is very dissatisfied with that. They want to be able to compare reports. When you bring up a PDF, you just can't do that. We then have to manually input that information into what is now known, it's a FoxPro database. FoxPro is a relatively old technology, and the information that I've been given from Enterprise Technology Services is that that database is just about shot. It's unstable as it is. That's why we were...
That's disturbing. That's a database I have that I use myself.
FoxPro?
Go ahead. Yes.
My condolences, sir. The whole impetus behind the electronic system and going in through MyAlaska enables a great deal of security, because the username and password act as the signature. It's a unique identifier, and it is now on a much larger system where the data is readily available, and it's readily available to the public in a form where they can look at a number of different reports and compare. What the public has to do now and will continue to have to do is to print things out or make a great many notes. In terms of data input, the way this bill is currently written, this extends the components of this bill to municipal filers. On average, we receive 145 municipal candidates who have to file multiple reports every year. And that's a three-year average, 145 municipal candidates. So that's going to add, and it affects places like Anchorage, which are municipalities over 15,000, Juneau, Fairbanks, and a great many boroughs. Those were required to file electronically. Now they're not going to be required to file electronically. And as with municipalities under 15,000, they're going to be able to file paper. We know from statistical data from campaign, national campaign oversight areas or organizations, pardon me, that when electronic filing is made optional, only 15% of people actually file electronically. And that's a statistic for the state of Alaska. We also know that people amend reports, and I'm only counting the reports that need to be filed when I say 5 to 6 reports a year. A letter of intent or a candidate registration, a 30-day report, a 7-day report, a 24-hour report, which I'm not counting at all, and the 105-day report. We also have amendments to those reports. When they come in paper, that all has to be put in manually. A manual operation such as that takes between, for a one line, I misprinted my middle initial, I need to get that changed. That takes about 10 minutes to do. But when a report comes in with 178 or more lines on it, and it comes in on paper, we have to manually input that. Then we need to do the double check, is what the filer submitted to us, did we truthfully and faithfully put that in? Are there typos? Did we put a space in the wrong place? Did we put a decimal point in the wrong place? That's our responsibility to do. Now you're starting to talk 5 to 6 hours a report. We spent, in the last 6 months, between July 1 and December 31 of 2011, we spent over 1,100 hours just doing data input. Now, this makes it difficult for the public because we have the report. We don't have it. We have it in a scanned form. Well, I don't have Adobe. I can't read that. They have to come in, or we mail it to them, or we fax it to them. That interrupts us from doing the data input. The other interruption we have is people coming in and asking us questions. And we would much prefer people come in and ask us questions. That keeps us from having to file complaints. Complaints are very time-consuming. They take 50 staff hours. To take 20 minutes to answer a question is very effective for us. We want those questions. But what we're running into now is the issue of how many statutory requirements can we fill? Yes, we can scan, hopefully, scan a document and get it out there in 48 working hours, or 2 working days, 48 hours. Can we get the data inputted in a timely manner so the public can search it? Depends on the volume of the traffic. Can we meet our other statutory requirements, such as conducting audits? We only spent 330 hours conducting audits in the last 6 months. That was one of our priorities, is to do more audits. But our time is eaten up doing the data input. By increasing the population that will have the opportunity, and from what we see from statistics, the probability of filing on paper, our workload is going to be increased. So it's going to make it more difficult for the public to see the documents. It's going to make APOC very inefficient. We are going to have to deal with mailed in, and my understanding of the postmark issue is we have to have it in our hands by the filing deadline. There was a question that came up earlier. We have to have it in our hands by the filing deadline. I would like to review the statute just to make sure. And I don't have my statute book with me. We are going to be taking electronic in terms of, hopefully, spreadsheets and other things. Sometimes those have to be put in manually if we can't translate it, not just uploaded. And there's no way we can guarantee that no errors in transcription will ever be made. It's not something we want to do. We don't want to do it, but I cannot sit here with a straight face and guarantee to you we will never make an error as we transcribe or upload.
And that'd be true for those who file the candidates.
That's absolutely right.
Sometimes we make errors.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we notify.
It works both ways, yes.
And that's why we notify, hey, this is an apparent error. It doesn't look right. Can you deal with this? And we think we do that reasonably well when we see something that doesn't make sense. Yes, sir.
So you'd have to have the paper report in your hand rather than the postmark.
That's the way I'd like to review, but that's the way I understand.
Because the federal income tax people, you know, they take your money no matter what. But basically, that works by the postmark.
Yes,
because,
sir,
I have no control over what the post office does after I put it in the mailbox.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Chair, I understand your question, and I think members of the committee are disagreeing with me, and they may well be right. That's why I say I would really like to review before I say definitively what it is.
Continue.
Thank you, sir. In looking at the bill, we're looking at things such as, the way I read this, this does not allow for filing via MyAlaska.
Filing what?
Via MyAlaska.
Okay.
The current electronic system that we were directed to deal with works through MyAlaska. The way this bill reads,
and that also includes filing for your PFD and so on, right? MyAlaska.
Yes, sir. It does. But the way I read this, MyAlaska is no longer a permitted way to file because the wording of the bill on on page 1, section 1, line 11, entered onto a version of the form accessed on the internet website of the commission. MyAlaska is not the internet website of the commission. If we were to go and recreate what we've constructed on MyAlaska, and this is not in the fiscal note because I hadn't had time to deliberate on this enough, this is going to cause us, if this is what you want, and we'll certainly do what you want us to do, we are going to have to create a security system that's similar to MyAlaska based on our website. And that's going to be very difficult and very expensive. And I don't think that's very efficient. So when it says the internet website of the commission, MyAlaska does not appear here. Therefore, it's not an acceptable way to file.
I don't understand. And so I go to look at my report on the internet or somebody else's report on the internet. Is there a problem with that?
No, sir. That's not what I'm referring to.
Okay.
When information is submitted electronically, the commission shall accept information, one, entered onto a version of the form accessed on the internet website of the commission. To me, that is a Word document or a PDF where you fill it in, or an Excel spreadsheet potentially where you fill it in and send it to us. I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. Or submitted on the commission in the form of an electronic spreadsheet or data file, which could be your own format and then sent to us electronically. But the system that we were directed to implement for people to come in and file via MyAlaska is not addressed here. If it's not addressed here, to me, it's not an acceptable way to file. And I'm reading this very strictly because I think it's important that we do this now and read it strictly now rather than have to come back again later. the other component of this that I think the committee may wish to address is, and if I can find the language, it says paper shall be made, paper copies, paper filing is permitted in extraordinary circumstances. Extraordinary circumstances is a very broad term, and I would ask for some guidance as to what is an extraordinary circumstance. Because it is the river flooding because of an ice jam, lines coming down, power going out, that's an extraordinary circumstance. I think we can all agree to that. Is, you know, my dog ate my homework. That's not an extraordinary circumstance. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm trying to give the other end of the spectrum. So from my perspective, these are things that make it very inefficient for APOC to deal with. We become very inefficient.
Representative Wilson.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Where are you at right now? What page and what line?
Through the chair, just give me a moment, please. I apologize, I'm mistaken.
Okay.
I'd be happy to stop here and address any questions.
Okay. Reverend Wilson, you had another question?
No, not right.
Okay, Reverend Keller.
Thank you for your testimony. As you were testifying, I began to think, I wonder if there's what else would require electronic filing, and I was trying to think, you know, hunting license, driver's license, any license as far as that goes, you know, permits, voter registration, income tax, you know, I can't think of another agency that has done this. So my question is, what other states have required electronic filing? Just for my own interest for future looking into this, because it seems rather extraordinary that we would require it. I mean, and in the private industry type things, you know, certainly that's not the case. I go to a bank, you know, there's nothing ever required for data entry, and you got car registration. I mean, a lot of these things would be a lot more efficient if, you know, and I assume someday we might be there, but you know, I wonder if APOC should lead the way. That those thoughts going through my head, and I wonder if you want to respond.
Through the chair, to Mr. Vice Chair, there are many states that require electronic filing. I can get you a complete list. I know Massachusetts does, and several states are enacting laws that will require electronic filing within the next 2 to 3 years. And I just came back from Kogel and visited with many of those folks. But I will get you a complete list.
Of course, the geography of the lower 48 is completely different from the geography of Alaska. Representative Keller?
No, yeah, just a quick follow-up. I would really appreciate your list. I'd also like, you know, some comparison on the level of the requirement. In other words, to me, to electronic filing, require electronic filing is one thing, you know, but there's always exceptions and there's always, you know, you got to deal with the text entering and the, you know, like addresses, you know, and, you know, all that kind of thing that may be different. I'm just wondering where we're at on this. Are we on the leading edge or not?
Okay. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you're worried about the actual word formation of the, on page one, line 11, about the form, not about the requirement. So changing the internet website of the commission to the internet as designated by the commission, does that solve your problem so that the commission can designate the internet format?
And that would solve, excuse me, through the chair. Yes, sir, that would solve part of it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned one thing, Mr. Dufinay.
If I may, please call me Paul.
You can call me Max, but we can't do that.
Just call me for dinner.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Mr. Dufinay, you mentioned that currently municipal candidates in communities over, I think you said, 15,000 are required to file electronically. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
So,
Chair, yes, sir.
So if this bill in its current wording were to pass, it would actually be a step backwards for those folks, right?
Through the chair, that is correct, sir.
I am looking at the two representatives who are in the front row there.
I'm going to ask you to come back up if he can leave his testimony.
Representatives Hawker and Curtula. They're elsewhere.
No, they'll be coming up.
No, I understand.
He can leave his testimony.
I am going to ask them whether it was their intent to have a step backwards for that group of candidates. Again, these are the folks for municipal office in communities over 15,000. I didn't hear that it was their intent to have a step backwards for those, and we may need to conform this to that. I am also looking at the mailing issue here. I brought my little file. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Continue.
Be happy to answer other questions. I know from my perspective, the instruction I was given last year, and then to see this, I'm confused. I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right job.
There's no doubt of that.
Well, and Mr. Chair, AIPAC is the organization everybody loves to hate. So. And I understand that, and that's part of the deal. But we want to do the right thing. We want to do things right and conform to the law.
And I think that those who make reports to AIPAC want to do things right. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we find, sir, is that many of the complaints that we are required to deal with come from ignorance. One of the things electronic filing in the form that we had envisioned would do for us is enable us to devote much more time to training and outreach so that we can deal with things before they become complaint worthy and to allow us to do more auditing. And for us, that was very important to do. That's part of our mandate is to audit records as well and do analysis. And if I might address the fiscal note for just a moment, knowing that we have on average that many more reports the way this is written, that's the impetus for the fiscal note. We will also have other issues such as replacing our FoxPro database, which is not in the fiscal note, and we will be faced with taking things in through numerous different avenues.
Now, you have to replace FoxPro?
We're going to have, if we are required to continue to enter things in that manner, we are going to have to replace FoxPro.
Well, that's correct, sir. But last year you used FoxPro, right?
Yes, sir. And we've been told that it's just about done.
Well,
it's not going to be supported much longer if it's even supported now.
Yeah, it does work, though.
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Resident Hawker and Cotullo to come up again.
I have something here.
Representative Greenberg has discovered something.
Now, this is just on the fly, and it deals with the filing of financial disclosures. It's a different book.
I don't want to get into
that. No, but it may be the same. It's 2AAC 50.785 filing, and if I may sub C, if a filer files a disclosure statement by hand delivery or facsimile, the date of filing is the date on which the Office of the Commission receives the statement. If the filer files a disclosure statement by mail, the date of filing is the date of the postmark. If a disclosure statement filed by mail has a postmark on which the date is missing or illegible, the date of the postmark is rebuttably presumed to be 10 calendar days before the date on which the disclosure statement is received. And that's the only thing I have, but I would presume it would be the same. Normally in the law, the date of mailing is the date. At least that's in the rules, too.
That's the date you lose control of the document.
Right.
Through the chair, I would like to review.
Sure.
To make sure before I give you a definitive answer.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much, sir. We may call you back.
Yes, sir.
Representative Hawker and Cotullo. Hawker, Cotullo, and Hawker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh,
and back at Representative Mike Hawker, District 32, Anchorage.
And Beth Kutula,
Do you have some comments to make based on the testimony you just heard from AIPAC?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there's a point of latitude there, but I would like to specifically address, I think, the most critical element of that testimony. That was the allegation that this legislation would somehow prohibit APOC from implementing their MyAlaska version, this current online filing mechanism that they've designed. And I respectfully submit that that could not be farther from the truth. It is absolutely not what this legislation would do. And as words mean things, if you would let
not,
me...
Not the truth, but the fact.
Pardon me, sir?
Not further from the truth, but further from the fact.
I believe it was a completely incorrect statement of the intent and effect of this legislation. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to step through the words on page 1 of the bill, lines 11 and 12. And this is referring to when information is submitted electronically. The commission shall accept information. Now, here's the operative words. Entered onto a version of the form, and I'm sidetracked the form for reporting, accessed on the internet website of the commission. This statement says that it is information entered into a version of the form. The operative word is accessed on the internet website of the commission. We have before us the internet website of the commission, and the very top line is electronic filing of APOC documents, a link
and
to access that
mechanism. And you're looking at the internet through your iPad, correct?
Yes, sir. We are looking at the
website.
We're looking at APOC's website through the iPad that is in Representative Curtula's possession at this moment.
Thank you.
Through the chair, we all want to get to the same place here.
Yes.
The problem is, in about 8 days, there's going to be a real pileup, and that's not going to help the public. It's not going to help anyone. So what we're trying to do is sort of have a stop in time. The agency is doing a good job of trying to get ahead. It just isn't working for everyone right now. The second thing is Representative Hawker's right. When I first heard the language, I thought, you know, we could say prescribed by, a form prescribed by, or designated by, but unless I'm missing something, that accessing through the APOC website gives the agency great latitude, you know, on as to where they're going to take us. So it was never our intent to do away with the work that they've done.
Continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I concur completely with Representative Curtula's comment there. And a real point behind this was we want all candidates to know they have a single point of information for their compliance filing, and that is the internet website of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Hence, again, we want to make sure that electronic reporting mechanism may be accessed from the internet website of the commission, of course. And again, that's exactly, I respect the, what I believe was not an accurate interpretation of that provision by the previous testifier. I absolutely concur with Representative Curtula that our desire is for the state to move into electronic filing. The mission is for the system to work both for filers and for the public. The comment that somehow this bill would make the commission inefficient is troubling to me. Frankly, this bill codifies current practice today. I don't believe this bill is a retrograde motion in any respect. The issue with the local candidates, again, current as it is rewritten, the Section M codifies exactly what is happening with all candidates to date, and that is we state legislators are currently mandated to file electronically. Mandated. The only reason that Representative Grunberg isn't able to file a paper filing is there has been the APOC somewhere along the way has availed itself of the provision in current statute that states that except for the following, and one of those is any information if the commission determines that circumstances warrant an exception to the electronic filing requirement. Now, frankly, also the word extraordinary does not exist in that statement. So the fact that legislators today have been enabled to file on paper is actually under that exception provision, because the mandate since 2007 has been for electronic filing. The same for those municipal office candidates and communities with populations of greater than 15,000. So again, respectfully, we are not changing convention and practice at APOC today with this legislation. We in fact hope and encourage APOC to continue to implement electronic systems that are sufficiently effective, sufficiently easy to utilize, and sufficiently attractive that more and more candidates do utilize them, and folks with limited computer skills such as Representative Grunberg can avail themselves of those opportunities.
Okay. Representative Peterson and then Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I'm reading the bill right, I believe this bill does allow the commission to use the MyAlaska, because if you look at page 1, line 13, starting with the word electronic, it says electronic spreadsheet or data file that contains field names and data types that conform, if you turn the page, to page 2, line 1, to a standard defined by the commission. So the standard defined by the commission is that they want us to use is the MyAlaska spreadsheet. And so I think that is, if I interpret this correctly, Mr. Chairman, that this bill will do exactly what the commission would like us, the form they would like us to use if we're able to file electronically. Then I think the MyAlaska, it would be covered by this bill.
Thank you. Representative Seaton, I think you're next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm glad we're getting the intent of the legislation fully vetted here as to what's intended.
That's what we do here.
The other thing that I got a little lost, Representative Hawker, was on the 15,000. In other words, municipalities above 15,000 are required to do electronically, and this would say that anyone in municipalities above 15,000 could file by paper. Is that a change, or is that not a change, or is it that there's a waiver of ability and therefore you don't think it's a change? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, the point, what we are doing with this legislation is treating all candidates equally, and in that, current statute requires both candidates for state office and candidates for a municipal office with a population of greater than 15,000 to file electronically. We are statutorily required to file electronically. And yes, to that end, this legislation would allow candidates for state office and for candidates for municipal office in those large municipalities to file a paper report without having to avail themselves of the other statutory provision that allows APOC to accept to make their own exception to the paper, the electronic report filing. So if we want to say, yes, we are in fact, and I'm revisiting our determination that says the standard shall be electronic filing, we are revisiting the standard and through this legislation saying that electronic filing is the desired outcome, but we respect the relative skills, abilities, and circumstances of potential candidates who may not be able to avail themselves of the electronic filing or may not choose to.
And I guess, Mr. Chairman, the question becomes, again, I'm in favor of the bill, but I see if basically we're talking about people availing themselves of the paper filing more and having only 15 or 20% or whatever that is, that seems to be, if we are changing that status for those municipalities of 15,000,
we are going to be getting a lot more paper filing mm-hmm. because we are saying it is no longer the standard. It is your choice as whether you want to file paper or electronically. So I'm in favor of the bill. This one thing does concern me because we are going back and saying it's no longer the requirement that people file, if you're in a municipality above 15,000, electronically, and you have to go get a waiver. Now it's just your choices whether you want to file paper or electronic, and I think that the effect of that is there's going to be a lot of people that were filing electronically and will possibly now file paper, and the load when we considered the original legislation and those numbers were to lessen the load of data entry and everything on APOC. So I'm concerned about that issue in this bill.
Representative Curtillo.
Well, let me see if I've got this right. I stand to be corrected because none of us here are in municipal office. I think what happened statutorily is the law was our old filing system, or the system we were all under, that anyone could file electronically, people could file by paper. Then APOC, in trying to live up to our statute, came out with a new system. And that's what's bringing in us all right now, unless I'm wrong about the municipalities. That's the one thing I'm not positive about, is whether the municipalities are in the same place that we are. If they're in the same place that we're at, then I just seriously question that anybody's going to move backward. I think that we just are basically caught right at this moment and allowing what everyone has been doing. I stand to be corrected on that, but that certainly, if that's not true, then the committee might want to revisit the municipalities in that situation. But I think that we're just basically all in the same boat, and I stand to be corrected on that.
I might, Mr. Chairman, I would
Reverend Hawker.
Add to that. I absolutely concur with Representative Curtula. I think, you know, we all prefer to do things in a manner that is most efficient for both ourselves and for the process. I think the mandatory electronic filing has disenfranchised a certain cohort of the state's population that I think we have to be very careful to protect. I also believe that when this bill passes, we'll take a look at it for an election cycle, and this legislature will be seated again. There will be a legislature seated again another year from now. And if it proves there are abuses to the system that can be documented and shown, certainly I, amongst others, would be very receptive to considering the testimony regarding those abuses and looking to a further remedy. But in this case, again, I think we'd be very careful not to disenfranchise anyone in the state of Alaska or discourage anyone in the state of Alaska from filing for public office.
You say when the bill passes, you mean if the bill passes out of committee and if it passes on the floor and if it goes to the other side and does the same there. I want to bring this to a close fairly rapidly as we have committee discussion, but Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My recollection, having sat on this for close to 10 years here in state affairs, and Representative Lynn the same amount of time.
And Representative Seaton.
I don't think you were here all the time. Were you here all the time?
From the beginning.
Okay. My recollection is that at one point we specifically said that people from large municipalities would file electronically, and I think the reason was because they would have access. It wasn't a little rural village or something. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that was specific, and we should probably look that up. But I think Mr. Dauvinet is correct on that. But I would like to ask for one question. If the members would look, and the witnesses would look on page 2, line 9, we're changing the word shall to must, and I'm looking at my staff, Ted Madsen, who's grinning in the back, because we talked about that in my office. And the drafting manual, because the word shall can either be directory or mandatory, should be the word must. And I'd look over on page 1, line 6, where we use the word shall. And I think it should be, to be consistent and in accord with the drafting manual, change to the word must, because it's mandatory, not directory. And I'd ask the sponsors on that.
Do you have a comment on that? They're not actually a sponsor. There's rules.
Whoever.
A sponsor.
Through the chair, is
in the seat.
Mr. Representative Gruberg, is the legislature carrying this legislation? I have never quite understood the mysteries of the legislative drafting manual.
You do.
I am rather, I'm a reasonable wordsmith. In this case, I had deferred to the drafting submitted to us. This bill was, in fact, drafted by legislative legal, and I respected their determination of the choice of the word shall on page one and must on page two. But colloquially speaking, not as an attorney, and certainly not as anyone speaking with the authority of the drafting manual, I believe in the context of paragraph one, the word shall there very definitely says that they will, in fact, accept any information required that meets these following criteria.
Mr. Chair, on that point, I'll probably raise that conceptually and ask to have whoever handles the bill in Ledge Legal take a look. And if that should be corrected to must, that they should do that. I'll make that motion.
That could be done, I believe, if it passes out of committee.
Yeah, I'll do that for
a time. Rules Committee substitute. I want to press ahead here. I want to call it Representative Keller and then Wilson, and then I want to a couple more people I want to give an opportunity if they wish to speak. Then I want to close public testimony and move ahead because the clock is, in fact, ticking, not only for this committee but for the election cycle. Representative Keller.
Got to get her done. Won't work.
Got to get her done.
For instead of must. I was, when Paul was up here testifying, I probably should have asked him, but I was hoping that Representative Kutula or Hawker could fill me in. I do not have the long history on state affairs. His interpretation of legislative intent from last year, I would appreciate you speaking to that. I mean, what was it? I mean, that we go to mandatory reporting for state offices by this election cycle? Was it, there anything that specific, or I just trying to understand it?
Through the chair, we've had a statute in effect. I mean, I hope and I think I started my testimony by saying this all started with the legislature because everyone wanted electronic filing. I think that's still everyone's goal. The problem has been in the recent implementation, the problems that I see coming from talking to many candidates about what's going to happen next. And that's what really drove us to say, first, any electronic form. It seems fairly easy. I'm not a computer person, but for APOC, who's been accepting the Excel spreadsheets, et cetera, to be able to continue using those. And the day after the legislation went in, they indeed confirmed that they would be allowing that. Then the question, frankly, became the paper. And it was a tougher question for me, but by and large, I became convinced that some people still truly, honestly need to be able to use paper.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question I'd like to ask APOC.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Dovenay?
Could I ask that APOC also define this municipal issue, because I am not certain of it, what the timing was, whether they're really in the same place as the legislators or whether they were on a faster track for implementation of the electronic filing. It was never our intent to change anything. We just thought everyone should be in the same boat. They weren't in the boat with us to begin with, and I guess they're still out of the boat. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dauphinet, you're back?
Yes, sir.
And I want to start abbreviating comments here because time constraints.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask you, how long has the municipalities, how long has it been that they've had to, any town over 15,000 have had to file electronically? How long has that been in effect?
Through the chair, to my knowledge, that's always been the same. I've been in the position a year, and it was in existence when I arrived. That's the most detail I can get you at this time. I can get you a better answer when I have a chance to review.
So that's not anything that you changed because of this new electronic filing with MyAlaska?
That is correct. Yes, through the chair. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then, you know, I thank you very much. I really propose that we make a change and make sure that stays the way it has been done in the past then. However, another question, if it's all right. Has there been any problem with that, with people filing in municipalities that are over 15,000?
Through the chair, I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean.
Well, through the chair, what I mean is, have you had any people say, oh, it's pretty hard for me to do, I would rather do it on paper? Has that come up?
Through the chair to Representative Wilson, no, ma'am, that has not come up. We have had people come in and say, I don't understand this. We sit them down and work with them, and, oh, fine. And, in fact, we had two or three people come in last week within 5 minutes. Oh, I get it. I understand now. It's just I forgot my MyAlaska password. I forgot my MyAlaska username. That seems to be the biggest stumbling block for people. Once they get to it and see it, they understand it.
Okay. Follow up?
Quickly.
I didn't mean for the change now. I meant when they were doing it before this electronic thing. When they were doing it, did you have any trouble with people saying, I'd rather do it by paper?
Through the chair, not that I'm aware of, but I will canvass staff and see if they had received any comments in the past.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir, for your testimony again. Is there anybody online? I have Enterprise Technology Services. Do you wish to make any comments? No, I guess not.
No, comments from us.
Okay, thank you for being available. Julie Lucky, do you have any wish to make any comments?
I can't do that.
I'm not available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else online? Is anybody else in the audience who would care to testify? If not, we're going to close public testimony and bring it back to the committee. And I think probably at this point, to be efficient, let's start going through the amendments, and then we have some discussion after that. So I'll entertain amendments. I forget what order they were in. So somebody wishes to make amendment. There goes Mr. Reverend Grunberg's hand. Representative Grunberg.
Okay. The first I'm going to offer is the printed amendment. And can we label that number one?
Amendment number one. Okay. Speak. Any objection to amendment number one? Okay. Without objection, amendment number one passes.
Second, Mr. Chair.
There's been amendment number two. This is conceptual.
Yeah. And that is to inquire of legal counsel and to inquire whether shall should be may, should be must.
Well, that's not an amendment.
Well, to do it unless legal counsel says no. I think.
Well, okay, well, make.
Okay. Yeah.
This is a conditional amendment, in other words.
Okay.
Is there such a thing?
And now there is. So it's a conditional conceptual amendment to change must, shall to must on line 6 and in accord with recommendations of legislature.
I'm thinking before this goes to the floor, it's going to go back to the Rules Committee.
Goes to the Finance.
Well, wherever it goes, the next committee could check that out with drafting, and then
that would
could,
be
somebody, some committee could act accordingly. Representative Hawker?
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman, Representative Grunberg, I have a couple clarifications. This legislation, if it is not accompanied by a positive fiscal note, it will go straight to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
Oh.
If it has a fiscal note, of course, statute requires that it go to the Finance Committee for further discussion.
And we have, I anticipate, an amendment on the fiscal note momentarily.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Grunberg, as the carrier, one of the carriers of this legislation on behalf of the Rules Committee, I would make my commitment to you that if you would research the question you have raised on whether the shall ought be a must on line 6 of page 1 of this legislation and reach a determination that it should be changed, I personally will take that before the Rules Committee, ask for a Rules Committee hearing, and make that change before
it gets. Or we could do it on the floor.
Or the floor, sir. You have my commitment to work.
Okay, I will withdraw the amendment. And then the third thing, Mr. Chair, is to look into the question of municipalities above 15,000. And I don't feel I can offer anything. Yeah.
Through the chair.
Reverend Cotilla.
And you may want to ask, I'm going to slot, I have a bad name too, but Mr. DeFinis, back up. If I'm reading the law right, everyone was in the same boat with municipalities. When the new law came into effect, then what happened is that for municipalities with populations of less than 15,000, they were exempted. So they could do paper. So unless I'm missing something, the municipalities above 15,000 and the legislators are all in this together. And am I reading that right? Yeah, I am reading that right.
Let the record reflect your multiple affirmative nods in the audience.
So I guess, you know, we're all in this together, and okay. I think the law should read the same. But I also, now that I've gotten to go through today and am thinking about all of these things, I will continue to try to work to make this the best that we can all live with. Thank
Very good. Representative Keller.
Yeah.
Do you have a proposed amendment?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to move that we attach, accept the zero fiscal note prepared by the Health State Affairs Committee with the understanding that if there is a extra cost haunting the APOC, that they will go through the normal budgetary process and make it clear why.
Okay. Any objection?
I have a question, yes, Mr. Chair.
Reverend Greenberg.
With that, since we're not going to send along APOC's fiscal note, do we then need to have, as part of the motion, that we send along our own zero fiscal note?
Excuse me.
Representative Keller?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. That's what the amendment was. I move the existing zero fiscal note prepared by the State Affairs Committee.
Okay. Okay, without objection, that would be Amendment 2, am I correct?
No, that's just a motion.
Okay. I hearing no objection.
I object.
Go ahead.
I just want to make comments that I think that, and then I'll remove my objection. I would just make comments that we proceed carefully with this and really think about what we're doing as far as making changes that will affect the municipalities also, because that does make a huge difference compared to just 60 of us. And I think it probably makes pretty much sense to me to allow the areas under 15,000 to do the paper, but anything over 15,000, there's all kinds of and if that means some of us are going to have to pay a bookkeeper to do it, then so be it. I think we need to really think about that eventually, not this election cycle. So I think we should, you know, but go into the next election cycle knowing what the rules are. So I think we really need to think about that. And it's hard to change gears in the middle, but think about looking for this election cycle only, and then by the next election cycle that we can do something like that. So I really think that would make would prepare everyone for the next time and give us time to keep going while we're in the middle. So I will remove my objection.
Okay. That amendment number 2?
No, it's not an amendment. Just a motion.
What that?
It was just a motion. So.
Okay, well, the motion
is
accepted. To accept, okay. Okay, that's accepted. Any further amendments? If not, any further comment? Representative Seaton and then Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we're doing this rather rapidly, and I appreciate the need for doing that. I am concerned that we are in this rapid situation. We are now with this bill saying that electronic filing is no longer required by anyone. Anyone can select paper throughout the state. There is no, and we're not just talking about ourselves. We're talking about all future candidates, and we are going back, I think, 7 years from where we were, in which we said we wanted to go to an electronic system. And so I think that this bill establishing no presumption that municipalities above 15,000 or the state legislators are expected to file electronically, however they can get a waiver, we in this bill are saying it's totally up to every individual candidate to select whether they want to file by paper or whether they want to file electronically. We have more than one way of filing electronically, but we have just reversed the course of state affairs and election reporting at least 7 years since I've been on this committee, because we have now taken it out of a presumption of electronic filing to it is the individual candidate's total choice as to how he wants to file, no matter whether they are electronically savvy and want to delay their report by mailing it and having that come in. I'm worried about mailed in. As I remember, because we talked about it in committee, unless the regulations have changed, if you postmark the date, that's the date of filing. And so if it takes 4 or 5 days, depending upon what post office it gets mailed from, it is then now going to be postmarked 2 days after that, or at least scanned and available, but it won't be entered within the 2 days. And so I think that this is a drastic change in direction from where we have been going in trying to make our system of reporting quick and available to the public. So I understand the need to go forward rapidly, but I'm afraid that that we have a situation where as we go forward we may need to want to consider and see if there's a way that we can change this bill that it will still be the presumption of electronic filing with a variance for people to be able to file by paper ballot. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Keller.
I just want to comment that that our goal, all of our goals are the same, and that's clear, obvious, usable reporting for everybody, the one that we can use comfortably and one that can be interpreted comfortably. I can't help but think that part of the process here that we're going through is just the natural result of dealing with technology advances. I just read where this is a little parenthetical, I'll be real short. I just read where Google has just announced to the world that anybody that gives data to them, they're going to share that data with anyone, any business that's tied with Google. And that, if you, the last couple of days, if you notice when you kicked up Google, it'll have on there a little warning, read the fine print. Yep. I think that's what that relates to. But anyway, with that, I would really like to move this bill on, and I make a motion we move House Bill 311, version 27LS1233, Bravo, as amended, with attached zero fiscal note from committee.
Okay. Without objection?
No.
Do you object, Reverend Wilson?
No.
Without objection? HB 311 passes. Thank you for some very interesting, to everybody who testified, it's a very interesting comment and testimony. We have a concern about every bill that we pass in this place, even what would be the most simple one. The object here, of course, is to have total transparency to the public and as rapidly as possible, because they need to see what's going on. And I'm going to ask...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative...
Could I make a comment?
What?
Could I make a comment?
Yes, please.
I think many times it's fear of, of change that we're looking at. But I've been filing, I have a bookkeeper, and it's really so simple, because all you have to do, I take a picture of the, I copy the check. I write down who the, you know.
Contributor was.
Yeah, you know, where they work on the piece of paper, and I fax it to my bookkeeper. That's all I have to do. And then when I write checks, I don't do it for every check I write, but after so many checks, I copy my checkbook on the copier and send that to her, you know, and explain. It's on a piece of paper, so you have room to explain to her what the stuff is. And so it's really, it's so simple. And I think a lot of people are afraid of that. And it's not as hard as people do, and it takes a lot of burden off of you when you can just do that. So anyway, I just wanted to make that comment.
Brain surgery is simple when you know how. I'd like to ask HB 287, anybody with that bill, I'd like to introduce the bill so we can have it as a bill preview. I apologize for taking some time. Anybody is a sponsor? Anybody? HB 287 present?
No,
we don't have three.
Well, wait, you got the wrong one here. Okay. HB 190, how about that one? Okay. Okay. Obviously, we only have just a few moments. I'd like to. We have a CS. Is there a motion to adopt the CS from anybody? Representative Peterson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I make a motion that we accept the committee substitute, the sponsor substitute for HB 190. It's 27LSO564/R version.
Thank you very much. Without objection. The CS has been adopted. Sir, would you quickly give it a very abbreviated what it is, and then we'll bring you back at the first opportunity to make a full explanation of the bill.
Yes, sir. Michael Pascal, Office of Representative Eric Feige. And I believe you adopted a sponsor substitute, and there is a committee substitute before you, version T, that we would like.
No, R is the R.
R is the R. Is that my mistake?
That's
all right. Yes. Okay. My mistake. We referred to it as a sponsor substitute, and is just making sure we're clear on the right one. Okay.
Yeah. Be nice to vote on the right one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My mistake on letters. You heard this bill last year, and the reason this bill came about was statute that was put into place about 13 years ago created a drop-dead, bright-line rule that after 10 years, anyone that was absent from the state on an allowable absence became ineligible for a PFD unless they were a member of Congress or a staff member to a member of Congress. And several of our military members from the state that were lifelong Alaskans that, in this case, are overseas or assigned elsewhere, become ineligible to receive the PFD after 10 years. There were numerous objections raised constitutionally, creating classes, past court cases, et cetera. So we went back to say, how can we accomplish this? And that's where a sponsor substitute came out of, and that was simply, if we have a 10-year rule, let's make it a 20-year rule. That deals with the problem of those that are currently getting caught, and maybe over time we can come up with a better solution. In the meantime, and over the last couple of weeks working with the PFD division, what we did is came up with this what is now version R, which will allow the division to take the regulations that they currently have. We will move them into statute, and by doing so, put in place a tighter standard for those on an allowable absence following 5 years. And that's what is basically being done through regulation, but would move those regulations to statute. And I do have a presentation to do, but we don't have time to present that today, so I'd like to start next time with that presentation that would explain the details of the changes.
Thank you very much. I'd like to recognize Representative Feige, the sponsor of the bill, has joined us. I apologize that we didn't get to your bill. All bills are important. We have to take as long as it takes to get a bill out of here. Our next committee, this will be a bill previously heard. Thursday, so I'm going to close testimony on HB 311. Thank you, sir. Next, or this coming Thursday, February 9th, we'll be considering again. Excuse me. Yes, I'm closing testimony, and we'll hear it at the next committee meeting.
Leave it open.
Just for today.
Yes. You're
closing it just for today.
What bill are we working?
You don't want to close today.
We have an open.
Don't close it.
I'm sorry.
Good heavens. Okay. HB 190 is the one we're hearing on absentee voting, right? Okay.
EFD.
And so we're going. We're going to. Are we?
Permission.
Time out.
It's right
here. 190. Absences. Allowable absences. Okay. Allowable absences.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what happens when you try to put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. Okay. 190. We're going to close testimony today, and we're going to thank you. Apologize again. We're going to hear HB 190 again, first on the agenda on February 9th. We'll also attempt to hear SB 89, a Legislative Ethics Act, that's pending a referral, and HJR 33, amend U.S. Constitution regarding campaign money. I think that's involved Citizens United case. Okay. Right. Any other comments from the committee? Now that we got what bill we're talking about figured out? Okay. If not, I'd like to thank those who testified today and everybody on the committee for very spirited and very useful commentary. We are adjourned.